All right, let's continue our discussion on how faith works in prayer. Of course, you know, I noticed we have, this is our fourth day on that subject, and it's only one of the points I wanted to make on that I have made up till now. The other things I've been talking about have been other matters that have to do with our Christianity, other matters that have to do with a good walk with the Lord, like we talked about not being... not making fear a habit and not doing things that feed fear. That was all I talked about the first day. I allow those things to flow. If I feel the unction upon me to say those things, I just allow them. But the main thing I want to talk about is how faith works in prayer. And we have talked about one, really. And that's when we read from the book of Psalm 73, verse 25, when David said, or when the psalmist said, "Who do I have in heaven but you? And upon this earth I have desired no one else or nothing else." That is, a believer does not desire connections. If God brings connections into his or her life, she takes advantage of it. He takes advantage of it as the Lord makes it possible. But that's not what they are gunning for. They know that God can save by a thousand, and he can save by many, and he can save by few. It doesn't matter. If God finds only one person to save by, he saves by that person. If he finds a multitude to save by, he saves by that by the multitude. Remember the story of Gideon. Gideon had just about, how many people now? I can't remember the story. It's been a while. Is it 300? Is that why they made the film 300? Sir? Is it called people like Gideon? You know, he had just about 300 people to use, and he routed them, all right? But David, at a point in time, even though he was anointed by God and God was with him, the Bible says that he amassed an army that was like the army of God, all right? When you see David's army, you'll be threatened by their numbers alone. They were plenty, all right? But he understood that God was not saving by the number. God was saving by his grace. Let's put it like that. So the point is that we must understand that. So he said, "I do not desire anything on the earth. I'm not reaching out for those things. I am reaching out only to improve my walk with God." Let me say that again. He said, "Who do I have in heaven but you?" The amount of God you experience on the earth is the amount of God you have discovered. That's what it is. And that's why you must continually learn the names of God. We talked about this some time ago. You know, we can't say these things enough, all right? Peter said, "I know you've heard them, but you must be established," all right? So I will not forget to remind you of them. God has different names he bears. The more you understand God's name, the more you experience his power. His name is not Greek, it's not Hebrew. Don't ever forget that, all right? Jehovah's Witness will come to your house and say, "His name is Jehovah." His name is not Jehovah, amen? His name is just, "I am," you know what I'm saying? It depends on what situation he's dealing with at a particular point in time. So he can reveal himself by the name Jehovah. He can reveal himself by different names, all right? You will see the name that is used in the New Testament to describe him, all right, which was unique, is the word Father, all right? It's God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always described in relationship with the person of Jesus. So the more of him you know, that's what I'm trying to say. So he has many names. And in fact, if you go through the scriptures, you will find hundreds of them. You just have to know how to decode those names. For example, you say, "I am God that make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children." That is a name. Those are not two names. It's a name. Just as the name is long. You get my point? And some of you have very long names. If you describe the creator God, that's a name. You get my point? Savior. Like, you see names like High Tower, Fortress, all right? Shield, Buckler. Those are names. Those are names. He's my shield. That's the name, my shield. Do you get my point? My bulletproof vest. You know, those days they talk about shield because they had to use shields. Now we use bunker. Not my fortress, now we use my bunker. You know, it's a bunker. When they are fighting, where you run inside, when bullet is flying all over the place. So if we wrote those things to this, you know, day, he'll be my radar-guided missile. You know what I'm saying? He'll be all kinds of names. It'll be my bunker where I hide against atomic bombs. You know, stuff like that. God has a name he bears. We must understand that. So, what is it? Who do I desire? Who do I have in heaven but thee? I must know the person I have. The more of God I know, the more I experience in this life. I was reading a book one day, and something just, you know, it hit me. I tweeted that statement. It said that the more of that God manifests his power in the area in which we are willing to believe him. That's what it is. Is the area of life in which we are willing to believe God, that is where he manifests his power. And sometimes the advantages we have in life, you know, sometimes I think about it, you know, because there's so much medicine around, you know, I'm trained to be, so you know how to use medicine. So, you know, I think about it sometimes that if this amount of medicine was not available, what would people do? Recently, I got an answer. You will have more faith if you're a Christian. That is all. This one that you have a ball, you've taken ampiclocks. You have a ball, you have taken this one. If there was no ampiclocks, you will lay hands on it in the name of Jesus. Come out for here. The thing will park like they run. You could look up. But because we have alternatives, we often just overlook it. What is that? Buy this cream, put on it. You know, that's it. you don't exercise yourself, all right? I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just trying to explain that. So oftentimes we don't experience the manifestation of God's power in those areas because we have not taken time out to exercise ourselves so that he will be able to manifest his power in those areas. And that's why this is a matter of fact. I say it again. The more I preach, the more I look at life, the more I believe it. Nobody has a real disadvantage in life. Nobody. That I have come to find out. Nobody has a real disadvantage in life. In fact, let me tell you something that will interest you. Just this happened this afternoon. Something happened. So I ran to my management office. I went to go and look for my CMD or my CMAC. The CMD was not around, so I knew I would see the CMAC. As God will have it, she was just coming into the office as I was getting to her door. So I said, good. Anyway, I had three issues. One of them had to do with employment. You know, I wanted to find something out. So they were not telling me about how they did employment they just did recently. Listen to this. It interests you. That they did interview and people had to write tests. And the CMD, the current CMD, he's so insistent on merit. You know his reason? He said that his father was a nobody. And everything he got in life, like to enter university, he had to just straight pass jam. Nobody was going to talk to anybody for him. To come for residency, he had to just pass. You know, so he's like, listen, so as long as he's the boss, anybody who will try, all right, and he can see the effects of the fact that the fellow is trying, the fellow is coming in. So that's his, in fact, I was talking to CMAC, she was explaining it to me, all right. But you see, there's another thing. Some people think they know people inside administration. So they said the interview, when they were collating the marks, there were many copies, so they now gave the marks to some people to handle. They said twisting marks. Now listen to this. Maybe you go 51, somebody will just change it to 61 for you so that because you know somebody. Unfortunately for them, the CMD had one of the original copies. So when the panel sat down to meet, they started finding some twisted marks. Things were changing. Ah, what is going on? Now, without anybody arguing, this was the consensus. Once your mark changed, they removed your name from consideration. I heard that is that they said, okay, you think you know people? No problem. That once they look, whether it was good or bad, they didn't even check. Once your mark has been altered, your name is pulled out, and you must understand they have hundreds to choose from. So they had the luxury and liberty of just yanking out names. By the time they finished, if somebody tried to help you, he was the disadvantage. Don't ever forget it. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm persuaded. In life, you don't have any real disadvantage. No, especially as a believer, you don't have. Because the area where people have their natural advantages is where you will stretch your faith and have an advantage that they don't have, which their natural advantage becomes a disadvantage. Because on this earth, they have many others. Are you getting my point? Therefore, they don't reach out to know more about the God that they have in heaven. So the fellow who does not have any of that has no choice. If he's a true Christian studying the word of God, will reach out to God and God will show that indeed I am the most high. I don't compete in height. You get my point? I am the most high. Nobody's near me. The title is complete, most high. You know what that means? The most powerful. The most important connection. And those are not theoretical facts. They are practical things. It means the person who knows God gets to a place where the man who knows the president can't get to. That's what it means. It's not something we learn in church. You know, just come to church, say, we get to church, let's deceive ourselves. God is the most high, but the boy, you know anybody way high small? No. If you understand that he's the most high, that's it. Period. He's the most high. Anywhere he's getting me to, Anywhere he wants me to get to, I will get there. It is irrelevant whether I know somebody or I don't. That was the first point I made. And that's the second day in this series. Who do I have in heaven but you? On this earth, I have desired nobody else, nothing else. No human connection. If I had money, there are statements you don't make. Let me say this, just drop it. You know, we're talking about how faith works in prayer. It's a habit of faith. There are statements you don't make. If I had money, this is what I would do. It's an insult. Tell your neighbor, it's an insult. You are insulting God. You are telling him money is the most high. I said, God, money is the most high. I have you, but even if I had had money, the only you I get now be my problem. That's it. There are things you can't do that requires to have money. I'm going to talk about that today again because there are actually three things are the points I wanted to make. Actually, again, it can't be the first time we're making those points on how faith works in prayer. It's one we have made now. All right? Now, so the other week was when I made my first point. Today I want to make the other two points if I can. All right? But if I can't, we'll finish it up next time. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So you see, there are statements you don't make. I was saying, as a Christian, you make faith a habit. If only I had money, this is what I would do. Okay, now that you don't have money and you want to do that, this is faith. Make it a habit to pray about them. You know, God will surprise you in this life. In fact, let God surprise you one day now. Amen. Yes, he should. He should. That's for something, you know, out of ordinary. Things that requires money and people to do. Good. Go after those things when you are sure you don't have money and you don't have people. And sometimes God does things for people just to make a point. What happened to Peter? He caught fish, so much fish, enough fish to drown him. After that, he said, come and be fishers of men. Was that not the end of fishing business? And that was the end of fishing business. After he helped him to make a lot of money fishing, as soon as the fellow got the point, he said, now, can we go? I will now make you fishers of men. So sometimes in life, God will do something for you. He says, it's not yet the time. It's not yet the time. I just want you to know. Now that you have made up your mind, you want to learn. Let me show you some things. After that, we'll leave those things alone. But the time will come back later. A lot of things that you are running for in life that are not with you yet. No, I keep on saying it. It's not because you are cursed. It's because it's not yet the time. No, please, don't ever forget that thing. No. Don't ever forget that thing. Many of the things you are longing for in life you don't have yet. It's not because you have a problem. It is because it is not yet what? Time. If I say this, surprise some people. You can marry today and God say, wait, you are not barren. There's nothing wrong with you. But please, can I have 4 years, please? Eh? We have things to do the first 4 years. You don't have children yet. You are not contraceptives. And since you don't know that it's the straight will of God. You know, that's why I scream, you must just be thankful. You must just be thankful all the time. You know, don't let anybody tell you, because if you go for deliverance meeting, you have problems. I'm the one telling you. If you are one of my disciples in the word of God, you go for deliverance meeting, you will have the kind of problems you will beg for help to come out of. I'm warning you. That's not a joke. If you go for deliverance meeting, the kind of problem you have over the next 3 months, you will have to repent of deliverance for God to forgive. Oh, please, get what I'm saying. Once, I read a book. One woman went for, it was a Kenneth Hagin book, yes. One of the people who blessed me so much in the faith. There was a church, they were doing all this deliverance. You come, they go look your face. You have a demon of contour head, you know. They now deliver contour head from you. Who not get contour of a head? Have you ever seen a head without contour? That they are head of demon of succubus, incubus, succubus. I was shocked when I read that. I said, what is this? Somebody now told me that. I said, okay, these are the ones that fly between 2 a.m. Sorry, between 12 midnight and 2 a.m. And as a Christian, be careful. Those guys have a way of just manufacturing all kinds of things. Anyway, this woman one day went for a deliverance meeting. Nothing wrong with her. Most Christians don't have any problem more than the problem of ignorance. Yes? I'm falling for satanic temptation once in a while. Those are all their problems. Sometimes we have a problem of laziness. Sometimes God says, this guy, you don't like to walk. You're looking for a tie. Meanwhile, I've given you cutlass. So let me use hunger to teach you some lessons. So this woman went for the deliverance meeting. They laid hands on her and delivered her of one demon. I don't know where the demon came from, what it is. But let's make a long story short. She started salivating profusely. Her mouth, spit was always coming out of her mouth. Saliva was just pouring. So they said, good, that the demon has come out as saliva. So they congratulated her and she went home. Except for one problem. The thing did not stop. She was spitting all the time. Her mouth was always full. That is, her salivary glands were working over time. Always pouring out saliva. Just pouring out spit all the time. She had to be wiping her mouth continuously and spitting all the time. It was not a real problem. That day they told her it was a demon that was leaving. But this one did not finish going away. That was when they introduced to this man of God. So when he told the story, the man said, you went for deliverance meeting, eh? She said, yes, sir. He said, that's what the problem is. He said to her simply, one, I'm going to pray for you. This is going to stop. And if you go for another deliverance meeting, you have a worse problem than this. Do you understand? And the woman said, yes, sir. Let's make a long story short. He prayed for her then, rebuked the evil spirit that had not entered her mouth. The salivation stopped instantly. And he warned her, don't go back there. Can you see that? She had no problem. One of my friends, he said the story. One day, one pastor met him and told him that he needed to pray. I think he was going to travel the next day for business. They bound, he started binding all kinds of spirits around his life. See, I don't like to look like I like causing problems. But I like to tell the truth. Do you understand? Your problems are about to start. If as a good Christian, studying the word of God, you start looking, people say that the reason why you don't have money is that you have a demon to be delivered of, the demon of poverty. Go for that deliverance first. The little you thought you had. They will now collect it, and that's the end of your... That, in fact, according to Americans, I knew my life was over. That's the end of your financial life. Once you go for that deliverance. Are you saying people don't need deliverance? There's a long story about it. Unbelievers need deliverance routinely. They need to be delivered from sin. Amen? Yes. And then, it's all about Christians. Number one method of deliverance of believers is the word of God. As you constantly fill your life with the word of God, are you getting my point? The whatever problems, they are just moving away. Because actually, what happens is that in Christ Jesus, you have been delivered. So what you are just doing that you are just coming to realization of it as the word is coming forth. And as the word, if the word doesn't come into effect deliverance, no matter the prayer they pray, it works only for a day or two. You hear what I say? It works for how long? A day or two. There's nobody filled with the word of God that cannot stand up to any demon in his or her life. There's none. So, don't let anybody be doing diagnosis on your head. What's the problem? When I sleep at night, I dream of water. I've told you they are pursuing you at night. Go and check how many people am I owing. If you are not owing anybody, no spirit can pursue you at night. Next time they are pursuing you at night, go and check how many people are you owing. Last time you went to the market, somebody forgot change with you. You said, now my luck. That's the people watching you at night. How can an adult Christian be pursued at night? I mean, they are pursuing me and you now come for deliverance. Confess. Next time, there will be two. And they'll be running faster. You'll be getting more tired. Until you just get up and say, I want to run again. You just turn off. Who are those pursuing me? You find that there's nobody there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I go to all of that? I can't even remember, but I can retrace my step to one place where I started saying, look, you are not cursed. Amen? Stop looking for deliverance. So in our generations, nobody has ever made money. That was then. This is now. Amen? And that's not the reason why you are broke. You are broke now because your life is in stages. It's good to be broke when you are young. Now, I keep on saying it. If you are broken, you are young, and you love God, be happy. Blessed, let me give you one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are thee when thou art broke, when thou are young. Because as an old man, you will never beg. You'll be so rich, you'll be helping multitudes. Amen. That's it. It's a beatitude. It's true. All right? It's very important. Don't be doing any stupid diagnosis on your head. No. Life is in stages. That's the point I'm just trying to make. All right? So many of the things people think are problems, they're not real problems. They are just one of the manifestations of the stage of their life that they are in. So like I was saying earlier, a Christian must understand that. God can say to you, give me 3 years as a young married woman. Give me 4 years. Why? There are other things to do. So that's why you must go and listen to my message again. Occupy daily. What did I call it? What does occupy daily mean? Every day has an assignment. Don't be preoccupied with the things that are, you are wishing for this. You are preoccupied with it. If you are going to be a billionaire, using money as an example, God didn't say sit at home and be mapping what you will do with billions. You can do that once in a while, maybe when you have nothing else to do in the evening. But in the morning, check, what's the problem? God said, cut the grass in front of your house. Be occupied with cutting the grass. You work in an office, be occupied with what is going on there. You're a student, be occupied with being a student. A student must know book. You know what it means to know book? Although it's our pidgin English, but what it means to know book means to be acquainted with book, to recognize book, to know book when you see it, know what's inside it. No, that pidgin English is so perfect. It perfectly describes what our lives are supposed to be as students. You know, Englishman will say, maybe the fellow is not intelligent, he's not learned. You know, no, that's it's a bit confusing. I like the pidgin English one. He said, I know no book. Which means I'm not well acquainted with book. I have not yet interacted enough with book. Are you getting my point? You know, if you come now, just maybe you see one nice looking lady, say, do you know her? I say, oh, no, I don't know her. What is that? I don't know her. Is that not so? But if you bring my wife, the Lord is good. I know this one properly. Amen? I know her well. In fact, I know my wife so well. As we're living in, I'm not joking about this. If I hear a car coming, from the sound of the tires, I could tell it's my wife. I'm not joking. That's not a joke. She used to drive like James Bond. And because of where we're living, the road was kind of straight until you get to our junction. And our house is the second house off that junction. I just hear, and the car just breaking. There's a way you just hear the sound, the sound of the brakes, the sound of everything. I said, Madam has come. That is, how come I know her so much? Interactions, and also, I mean, talking. You know, there's nobody I've talked to more in my life than my wife. If she's not around, that's who they talk for phone. Talk. One day, one woman saw me in church. I was talking with my wife. I said, Pastor Banky, it's not the same house two of you came from. Sorry, ma. Some people were playing. I think we just arrived from, we're about to enter church. The way I was teasing, I forgot what we were doing. Just there. He said, it's not the same house we are coming from. It's the same house, so it's not my fault. It's in the Bible like that. I don't want to go there. My wife used to tell me, I said, listen, it's in the scripture. I'm a scriptural man. Stop telling me I'm disturbing you. Be exhilarated at all times. All right? The point I'm just making is that it's that interaction that makes me know her very well. So a student should interact that well with a book, with books, and then the boy go, no book. Is that not so? Yes. Say, do you know? Yes, now I know this fellow. It's a stage in life. Doesn't mean you won't be a billionaire tomorrow. It means the stage in life right now is to know books. So get involved with books. Please, I'm digressing. Let me just sit on this. Tell yourself, tell all young men and women around you, you are not going to school to get a certificate. You are going to school to know book. Are you getting my point? Yes, you should be. It's a work of God to know it. It's not the work of God to pass. It's a work of God to know. Passing is a consequence of knowing. I tell my students, don't ever escape a subject. Say, we don't escape that one. There's no escaping. It's waiting for you at another level later in life. Are you getting my point? So God has given us something to do each day of our lives. Each day there is an assignment. Be occupied with that. You are not cursed. You are broke now doesn't mean you are cursed. Are you getting my point? So my business, last two businesses didn't do well. It's because you did not know how to do them. So what do? You learn from it. If you ever read this book, Richest Man in Babylon, told the man how to save up money to invest. So one day, he said, how are you doing? He said, I gave my money to the bricklayer to go and buy diamond for us to sell. He said, you give money to a bricklayer to buy diamond. He said, no problem. Precious stones, he said. He said, you have learned your first lesson. The business had not returned. He said, don't worry. Now you know that you do not give, if you want to buy brick, yes, give money to a bricklayer. When you want to buy precious stones, you give money to a man who is skilled in precious stones. See, of course, by the time the man returned, they stained glass for him. In Phoenix, he went to Phoenix. Not the one in Arizona, I mean, you know. Whatever that place was those days. And I came back, and they found that it was glass. That was his first lesson. That was the first lesson. People say, come and buy land. You appreciate in value. Ask my wife. I said, I want to buy. They said, why? I said, because I'm a pastor and a doctor. I'm not a land buyer. I'm not a speculator. I said, if I buy, I will be breaking a rule that I have taught everybody not to break. You know, many of you are falling for it. Because you have money instead of you to give as offering. You go and buy land, laying up treasure on the earth. Very good. Your own is even literal earth, not even laying on the earth. You bought earth. God is going to collect his money. I'm talking about. You say, buy land, it will go up. Your daddy called me, my friends. They're selling land in Abuja. I said, all the way from here to Abuja. I said, I don't buy it. Say, price will go up. Don't worry, my money will go up too. I'm prospering more and more by the day. Don't worry about it. The path of the year is like the light of dawn. He said, hey, look, this man bought that time. I said, listen, there are people who know the job. One day my colleagues gathered, they said, we want to buy land, we want to do this one. So I was like, because I mean, it's nice to own property and build on it and all that. Very nice idea. So I got involved. And I said, what are we going to do? I said, wait, before we do it, all of you come, let's go to Copen Group there. I know the big boss, Ugochime. I said, I know him. I mean, the man, if I want to talk to him, he will listen to me. So I told Roque, please, give us an appointment with your boss. He said, okay, Pastor Banky and his colleague want to come and see you. I mean, was it? Look, we should pay for such things, but he did it for us free. The man said, where is the land? He brought out his iPad, you know, Google Earth, showing us all parts of Enugu. That was the first time I saw Google Earth really working. Showing the, in fact, they could almost capture your car. You know, you saw, I just saw everything. So we described here and there. He said, this road, he said, this land, this is where you want to buy. We said, yes. He said, it's bad business. Negotiation had gone far. He said, this is bad business. And he gave his reasons. He said, look at this. The road, the connection road is from here. He gave us the amount of kilometers. You know, this is business. He said, this community, I talked to them then to leave this and this, and they did not agree with me. So they developed this area, leaving this road to be... By the time he finished analyzing, I said, praise God. What impressed me was that he was talking the way I talk Bible. You get my point? The way I talk as a pathologist, if you come with tissue for me, and I'm describing, that's how he was describing land. In fact, he would tell a story. Remember this particular land? I told you, that is, after if we spoke for like 30 minutes, simple summary, bad idea. So I tell Rocky, I say, listen, if you say buy land, I say, if I have money to buy land, I'll come and give you. I'll tell you, hold it for me. When your guy is buying land, add my money, John. Be foolish, for goodness sake. You're going to be buying land that after you finish paying, community will come and beat everybody. Oh, God. I told one sister like that. He said, Pastor Mark, you're correct. That my mother told me her experience. I said, good. Now, I'm just saying, you know, just be careful in life. There's no fast money. You know, people say that, just join this group. They'll just be pouring money into your lap every day. Network marketing. Many of you have joined. You found out it's a lie. Where's your money? It has gone. It has been used to pay your upline. You have learned the lesson the bad way. Is network marketing bad? No, it's not bad, but there's no free money. That's all. I was there one day. I saw one smooth-talking girl rapping away my colleagues. I just looked. When you want to talk to me, I said, don't even start. You know who I married? Which business have they not brought to my wife? Which one she never do? Including when I had to be brushing with aloe vera grass. I said, please, don't even start. I said, don't start. There's no free money anywhere. My wife found out the very hard way. If I spend this amount of energy you want me to spend making forever living rich, I will become under forever living. There's no free money. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I'm saying many things. I pray I can get back to my message so we can preach today. It's time, don't go now. Oh, Pastor Frankie, behave. What's the point to make? Everything in life, you have to learn it. So many people in life, that's why all these so-called curses, that's been the problem. You are going to a business you don't know anything about. He said the magic of penny stocks. Penny stocks became cobble stocks. You saw it now? After all, many people have sold their father's land, inheritance, invested in the stock market. Some people fed fat on it. Anyway, that's how wealth is redistributed. So as to confirm the word which was spoken, lay up not treasure on the earth, where moths do destroy, and thieves do break in and steal. Wisdom is what a lot of people don't have. You're not cross. That's what I'm trying to say. As a Christian, you must learn. You must learn. These are the problems people often have. And I say, nah, curse. No, because. Now, you have to learn. We just have to learn. You are getting what I'm going to explain. All right, we have to be willing to learn. So that man, he said, listen, that's your first lesson. So all the business I tried to do didn't work. Yes, learn. You've learned something. I like what Robert Kiyosaki said, you can lose money, but don't ever lose the lesson from that experience. Lose money, fine, but you come out of there with one lesson. Don't ever lose that lesson. Very important to understand all of these things. What I'm saying again is this, Christians, you can have problems in life. It doesn't mean you are cursed. Even Jesus had a problem. You know now. Judas was a problem. You can't have Judas in your ministry. Tell me you don't have a problem. Are you getting my point? And you do calculation, but you're not correct. It's a problem. When you're trying to do what is right, and somebody's always telling you to do this the other way because he's thinking of his pocket. Is that not the problem? So you have a problem, solve it. Amen? You have a problem, what do you do? Don't come and say, because of that, you are cursed. Don't go. I don't know why I said that today. Maybe somebody came here already planning to go for deliverance. Come with a warning for you. If you go, you will need twice that dose by the following week. Don't go near there. Demons will enter into your head. You start hearing voices. I'm warning you. My friend was telling me about, he said that when he finished that prayer session, they were binding demons from every mile. Maybe so that business could flow. So after that, he became sick, the kind of sickness unto death. I laughed. My wife was there that day. I laughed. I said, trouble sleep. Young girl, go wake up. I said, that's what happened to you. He said, by the time they finished binding the demons, it took them, how many hours? Can you remember? 3 or 6 hours or 9 hours. I told him, I said, that person must really be jobless. You know, sometimes people don't have work to do. They not create work. Unnecessary work. How can you be binding demons for is it 3 or 6 or 9 hours? One ridiculous length of time. Book appointment for the whole day. That's why they will charge you 50,000, you will pay. After that, he said he fell sick. No, the kind of sickness that he thought he was going to die. When he said the gist, I had a very good laugh that day. I said, yes. He said, I would allow sleeping dogs to lie. He went and started waking it. They don't bite you now. By the way, that's the mercy of God telling you, don't do this again. Listen, if you're a child of God here, say amen.
Amen.
If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
Don't go for all those. Let nobody come and harass you. Say, I want to deliver you from things that are not worrying you. Say, your great-grandfather was an Ogbanje spirit. Tell them that was his problem. None of my business. Say, he killed many people. What's my problem? Jesus said, I and the children that the Lord has given me. I and the children, that is me and one of them. We are for signs and for wonders. We didn't kill many people. Like, that's the one that makes me laugh all the time. give an offering for the redemption of the sins of your ancestors. Say, Uli, he wants to collect offering. Go and collect from somebody else who's confused. I'm not confused. The Lord is good. And perhaps you'll be giving such offerings. I want to forgive you today on the Lord's behalf. You are forgiven. You don't want to say amen now, have you? Okay, don't say it loud. Under your breath. Okay, everybody just say amen so that those who want to say it will feel good saying it. I say you are forgiven.
Amen.
All those naira offerings you have been trying to use to kill, curses. I say to you, you are forgiven.
Amen.
All the time you have insulted the Lord Jesus Christ, telling him that his death was not good enough. You are forgiven.
Amen.
But don't do it again. Go and sin no more. That is the message. As a child of God, you are totally free. That's the point I'm making. All you need to do is walk in the light of the freedom that God has called you into. I hope you are getting my point. And whoever it is that made me preach the kind of message today, I don't know how you are. Don't make me preach it again. No. I have other things to do now. Look at how you have kept me. I don't know who you are, but I know one or two of you are there. I know when things like this happen. Don't worry. Let me prophesy for you who have been holding me here. God will give you light and he will solve that problem for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will give you understanding. He will give you revelation. You will know that indeed you are free and that your life is in stages. That you may be in a stage right now where things are rough, but that's because life is in stages. You know what the Bible calls seed time. In a short while, you will come into your harvest season in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, don't wrongly interpret the affairs of your life. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Like I said, I just got stuck there. Let me just, for the time we have left, I have two things to say. Let me say one, and then maybe next time I'll be able to say the other one. Let's open our Bibles quickly. Now, remember, we're talking about how faith works in prayer. We've been talking about that. I just went into all of that, trying to explain that sometimes Christians have problems, and I just got stuck. I believe I was ministering to some people. All right? How does faith work? We've said God is the only one we need. We don't need anybody else on this earth. That's one point we've made. Faith is a habit. I've established that. It's a habit. It's not just one great thing that you're trying to get by yourself to solve a difficult problem. As sometimes God will breathe into you what the Bible calls the gift of faith. That's what is called the gift of faith. Like I said the other time, it comes upon people. I said it last week. It comes upon people who love God. It comes upon them. But the normal faith you need is a faith that's a habit. Habit of trusting totally in God. But we're saying, how does it work in prayer? That one is baseline. Let's not talk about the things we are requesting from the Lord specifically. Let's read two scriptures. First of all, open to the book of Matthew chapter 20. Let's use that one. There are two things I said I need to add to that. One of them, I preached about it when we're talking about the gospel according to Ruth. But we can't say these things enough. We just keep on saying them. In the gospel according to Ruth, I talked about take heed to your spirit. Please, if you were not here then, in fact, it's good whether you were there or not, go and listen to that series again. Take heed to your spirit. You know, as Christians, we must be careful that we don't ask God to be doing things that he said we shouldn't do. Are you getting my point? That if God does not want to do something, we're not turning to a prayer point, we'll be praying that he should do it. He's already said to us specifically, don't do those things. We do that a lot in prayer because we don't know exactly what we are asking for. We ask for a request that if God were to grant, he would be telling us not to walk by faith. The book of Matthew chapter 20, we'll start from verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request. Everybody say a request.
Yes.
All right. If you read from the book of Mark, he just talked about the people coming, the young men coming themselves. All right, and they made a request of him in verse 21. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your left, one on your right, and one on your left. Then he answered and said, you do not know what you are asking for. It's possible to be making requests, you don't know what it means. You do not know what you are asking for. He said, are you able to drink the cup I am able to drink? I'm about to drink. And they said to him, we are able, that's the boys. And he said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Now, please, why I read this is to bring out that issue again. Two important things about faith, which I should add to the fact that we must have God as our only source. Number one is that we must know, if we are making requests, what we are really asking for. It's very important. You know, Ian Kat told me the other day that he read the book again. You know, I won't mention the name of the book so as not to try to undermine the author. We're talking about if you want to ask God for something, be totally specific. All right? That if you're asking God for a car, tell him the color. Tell him the make. Tell him the engine size. The color of the man who put the last paint on it when the car was coming out. All those kind of fine details. I want to address that again. He said, you do not know what you are asking. How does faith work in prayer? One of the things Jesus was telling us in effect is let's know what we are asking for when we are making our requests to God. There's one example I've given a lot of times. And I must not forget to give such examples once in a while. Sometimes people are asking God for things that will replace God in their lives. And that's why he doesn't answer. They sit every day. They are asking for a particular job. And the way they are asking, they are not trying to be productive. They are not trying to learn. They are just trying to have that job become the supplier of all their needs. You understand? They want to be able to raise their shoulders also around. So every day they are making requests. What God is hearing is not what they are asking. Are you getting my point? So he's saying to them, you don't know what you are asking for. Like I see all the time, a man tells you, I need to marry. What do you want to marry? You know, I need somebody to cook my food. You know, those kind of things. I said, just go and hire a maid. You don't need to marry. So you will pray and pray and pray. Because every day somebody will knock, please, good morning, sir. Do you have work here? Is God answering your prayer? You are looking for a cook, not a wife. Are you getting my point? Other people are praying, God, give me a husband, give me a husband. God says, see, you don't understand. You don't need a husband, you need a bouncer. Because why are you asking for a husband? Last time somebody insulted in your traffic, if I was married now, I would have called my husband. God said, no problem. I'll give you a very tough, big boyfriend. You know, a man who's just chasing you, and he'll be very happy to help you beat everybody. Be a boxer. But every day you are there praying. But what God is hearing, you understand, is not what you think you're asking for. As I preached then, I said, you must get our definitions right. You must get your definition right. You don't make requests that will make God think that you are asking him to create an idol to compete with him in your life. It's very important we understand that. All right, so Jesus said to these people, you do not know what you are asking. People said that when you want that car, pray like this. I said before, you must purify. In fact, these are the two things. The second one is that you must purify your motives. It's very important. Know what you're asking, how faith works in prayer. Three things I want to teach about it. One, we finished. Have God only as the source. Number two, all right, know what you're asking for. And number three, you must purify your motives. That's the one I talked about when I talked about taking heed to your spirit. It's very important. You must purify your motives. Let's sit on this, what you're asking for. So they said that, okay, if you want a car, describe the size of the rim. Let me say to you, again, in simple terms, it is not that kind of specificity we are talking about. Should you be specific? Yes. The color of the car, in all honesty, if it is not important to you, don't bother. You create more doubt in your prayer life if you introduce such things, all right, than if you don't talk about them at all. If the color is not important, let's assume you want a car to be a taxi, and they say in the whole of Africa, no repainting of color. I'm just giving as an example. It doesn't happen. Does it happen like that? No. And yet, the now said in Nenugu, all the taxis must be yellow. It makes sense to pray for a yellow car. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But as things are, you know that's not the situation. If you buy it black, you paint it yellow. So that is not a serious matter. And a lot of times what you want to use it for, the color is totally irrelevant. Let nobody put your soul under pressure to be asking God for the specific color of the car. They say, a man did it. I'm not saying he did not do it. All right? I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm just saying, is that the proper thing to do? The answer is no. Let's not make rules out of personal experiences. Are you getting my point? We cannot make rules about prayer out of personal experiences. He said, you do not know what you're asking. What was the problem with these people? They thought the positions they were asking for were positions of power. positions of influence will be important people who will decide who's coming to see him and who's not coming to see him. They did not realize that that's not what those positions were for. They didn't know that these were positions for those who want to be beheaded. They did not realize that these are positions for those who want to hang on the cross. Those that they will stick a spear into their side. Those that they will crucify upside down. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That's what I mean. So people say, okay, you must be specific. I say, no. If I have to pray for God for something, like, let's take that car as an example. I describe precisely what I want. If the roads are very bad, it makes sense not to have a car that's very low. Say, Lord, please, I know you love me, but please don't give me a Lamborghini. Are you getting my point? It's a sports car. Speed limit is, in fact, even if there's no speed limit, there's checkpoint limit. Are you getting my point? Before you finish accelerating from here to there, you see somebody don't stop in front. There's broken down truck limit. You know, there are things that are just impractical for your society. So the road is rough. Lord, I think an SUV will be good. Why? Because the road is rough. I don't want a car that will spend half of my salary buying fuel. I know it's true. I was discussing with Israel yesterday. I said, once I stopped to buy fuel. This was about 2 years ago. I was going home. I wasn't sure there was fuel down. I was going to see my mom, the whole family. So I said, let me fill up the tank very well before we take off from Benin. We just left my in-laws. We're now going to see my mom. When the guy finished filling the tank, told me the amount, I counted money I paid him. He said, oh, God, that's my 1 month salary. That is, you just filled your tank with what I work for a whole month. That if they dashed him my vehicle, you know, that truck, Americans call it a truck. If they dash it to him, he shouldn't drive it. It's against the will of God. So the kind of things you come to church, say, praise the Lord. The Lord laid it upon me to show a sheet into this ministry. They won't know that you are delivering yourself from troubles. Say, Pastor, here are the keys. How? Oh, they say this brother is faithful. No, his brother is wise. The brother wants to live long. I still remember very well one Texaco in Benin. I counted money. The guy shook his head. Like, my God. This guy just bought fuel for what I have to work for almost 30 days to collect. You dash him that car, it's not a blessing. It's not a blessing. Like the story I was telling you about, people say, buy land, hey, buy land. I said, wait, when you don't have, they tell you it's an asset. Buy it first. You know it's a headache. That's how they'll be coming to you regularly. So they say, everybody should contribute $50,000 for this particular thing. You contribute. After a while, they say, the community said this and that is. After a while, you ask yourself, do I own this land or the land owns me? No, it gets to a point. You start asking, who owns who? I told you then when I was in Lagos. People say, buy car. I say, I'm sorry, I can't afford it. I said, listen. They say, you, one day, one of my uncles came and said, someone wanted to sell a B2 for $25,000. And here and now, we have been in this business. I'm like, they used to run a car shop, and I used to hang around there a lot. So I knew he knew about cars. I said, bros, 25K B2. What state is he in? Ah, he said, no. When you spend under 25K, he go good. I said, no. I know they do. One of my colleagues did. In another way. I've told the story many times. He would drive the car for 2 days. The car would drive him for 3 days. After that, I said, you know that when I was in Lagos, I used to trek with pride. I said, my car can never break down. Because if it breaks down, I join the next one. You understand what I'm saying? But for those who had just that one, and it breaks down, you're on your own. Thank God there was no last one at that time. I said, Bishop Oyedepo said, the blessing of God comes at the time they will not become a curse. He said, they may be slow, but they are sure. I used to quote that in all the time. I said, I'm not going to queue for fuel. Why? Because my shoes don't need fuel. It was a stage. That's the point I'm going to make. It was a stage. Many times people, those days, they were praying for things. Hey, God, I want it. I want it. God said, listen, you don't need it. I know you think you want it. All right? You want it and you think you need it. And I'm saying to you, you do not need it. So people say, absolutely specific. I said, no. I don't believe in that. I believe in know exactly what you want. I want to be comfortable, as an example. Nothing wrong with that. I was talking about that car. The roads are bad. I need something that is high. Doesn't consume too much fuel. Everybody has a personal like and dislike. You understand? Somebody like me, I have this personality. Just me. I don't know where it came from. I think it's in my spirit. I don't know. Just the way I'm made. I don't like things that are small. If you give me a big car and a small car at the same price, I take the big one. I know people that they prefer the small one. You hear of sports cars? I've admired sports cars. I've never wanted to own one. I like things like technology. I'm one of those. In fact, one day a young man was selling cars. So I was asking him questions. Ah, explain this thing. By the time I finished talking with him, he said that I used to say I knew about cars, but I don't think I know as much as you do. Now, what am I talking about that? If I see a car magazine, I'll pick it and read, and I know a lot of stuff. How long it takes, a Ferrari Testarossa to accelerate from 0 to 60 miles an hour. I could give it to you. Compare that of a Lamborghini. I'll give all those things. But do you know, I've never wanted to own one. Why? I say I don't like the idea of feeling as if I'm sitting on the road. And these are things you drive almost lying down. No, that's the way they are designed. They say if you buy then, I don't know which Ferrari is running now, but those days it was a Ferrari Testarossa. You have to go and train yourself in how to drive almost lying down. A man, police seized his car because there was a court case against him, judgment against him. They had to beg him to come and submit the car. That no government official was willing to risk driving it. They had to beg him, sir, Mr. Prisoner, when will you have time to go home and go and bring the car for us so we can lock it? Some people like it. I like a feeling when I'm on the road. I feel like, I feel very high. You know, maybe because I'm in Nigeria, bad road, so you are used to this thing, they affect your mentality. I don't know. So our personal preferences, I ask God for all of these things. And listen to me, I leave the rest to Him. That's what I mean by know what you are asking for. Actually, this is totally tied to purifying your motives. I'm talking about faith now. Don't forget, what I'm talking about is what? Faith. Because there's something about being double-minded. Let's quickly read that. There's something that James said. Let's talk about that purifying your motives again. James chapter 4. Then we'll talk about we'll read both of them, James chapter 1 and James chapter 4. Let's just read the two of them, and then we'll finish this next time. I'll talk about purifying your motives next time, but let me just read the scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 5 said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, verse 7 is where I want to sit. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? He said, being a double-minded man, he is unstable in all his ways. That is, if your heart is not steady, if your heart is not settled on a thing, you reduce the likelihood of God answering that prayer. Let me say it again. We'll talk about, we've been talking about here and there, about persistence, perseverance, patience. If your heart is not steady, what was James telling us? Don't expect that God will give you anything. Now that's why it's so important you observe this law of faith I'm talking about. That is, make sure you know what you're asking before you begin to pray. You don't just be changing your mind recklessly. And one way by which I've talked about, one, being having your desires settled on the word of God. Yes, that's true, but that's not what I want to talk about today. I'm talking about the fact that you be conscious of precisely what you're asking God for. Not as in being so specific that you know the color. Because if the color does not matter, it's going to cause your heart to be wobbly. Are you getting my point? Today you are going to like red, tomorrow it's going to be blue, the following day is going to be green, then a car will just pass in front of you. Wow! Which shade of yellow is that? That's it. This is reducing the likelihood that you will get an answer. So things that are easy to change like that, what do? Leave them out. It's not part of your prayer point. Because that's how faith works. Your heart must be steady. That's what I'm trying to explain all of these things. Your heart is, God is the source. What am I asking God my source for? Let your heart be steady. If you're asking God for security, God, let me be safe. I want to be safe. I don't want any troubles. Stop asking God for four armed policemen with, no, how do you call it, with AK-47. That's not a good prayer point. That's what I'm trying to explain. How God brings security, none of your business. What do you want? Security, safety. You want to sleep at night and not be worried about what is going on behind the fence or what's going on down the street. You want to be able to sleep and not be disturbed. That's what you want. Ask specifically for that. Are you getting my point? If God decides to now locate a detachment of armed mobile policemen somewhere close in your neighborhood, that's his business. If he decides to eradicate all kinds of crimes within 100 kilometers radius of where you live, that's his business. If he decides to relocate you from where you are to another place, that's his business. But don't make any of those things specific requests. They are unnecessary. What they do is that they weaken your faith. That's the point I'm making. You know, when you and I were talking about that day, I said, this was the way I shot some of those things down. People say, I said, listen, let us assume now. I prayed God and I said, all right, God, I want a, let's use that car as an example again. I want a nice, maybe fairly used Toyota Highlander. And then somebody now comes next day and says, listen, for the price you will have bought a Toyota Highlander that's used, let me give you a brand new Kia Sorento. Will you accept it? If your answer is yes, then don't bother asking God for that Highlander. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Don't. If you are going to accept an alternative, don't ask for that thing. It weakens your faith. In fact, it's going to defy your conscience. Now, if I take this one now, will it be that I'm not believing God? are you getting what I'm trying to explain? These are the practical things about this prayer we're talking about. This is how I pray my prayer on such things. Like I told you earlier, I just described the kind of thing I want, with my emphasis being on what I need it for. So that any good thing that comes that meets that need is of God. Are you getting my point? If I describe that very cool, I'm telling you about, after I finish, if God comes tomorrow through different ways, he gives me a Toyota Highlander, I take. If he gives a brand new Kia, what do you call it? Sorento, we drive it. If he says no, it's going to be a this very sporty Ford Explorer, we take it. If he says no, it's a, what's Santa Fe, what's that high-end they call again? We drive it. All of them to the glory of God and edification of humanity. Like they say it. What I want is reliability. Don't give me a car that's breaking down every 15 kilometers. Are you getting my point? That is how we pray prayer, so that we will not be disturbed. People want to give very fantastic stories. Say, I told God I wanted the color to be green and have shades of yellow under it. And there, praise God. It was a green car when it was coming. It splashed through paint and then yellow just stuck under it. It's nice and romantic. Please, it's a personal testimony. It's not the word of God. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That's why I read this particular scripture. It said, let not such a one think he will receive anything from God. Because when you pray prayers, you understand, with too many fine details that you don't even know why they are there, what you are doing is that you are making your heart unstable. Your heart is unbalanced. You start changing your mind every time. What's my message for today as part of our laws of faith when it comes to prayer? It is simple. Know exactly what you want as much as you want it and as you can understand it. If it gets to a particular level, there's no this teaching of you must be specific. No, it's not necessary. Say, I want to marry, I want to give God the height of my husband. It's unnecessary. What did I say? You know why? Because I've read through scriptures, I've looked through life. I have never seen where a man's height determines the quality of his character. She had prayed to God. This is exactly what the woman will weigh. So she'll start eating now because she's married you who demanded that she must be 62 kg. When she born two children, she will get, I mean, you said show mercy. Most time they'll get small. But I hope you have learned what I'm trying to explain. Some of those prayer points that people have, they are not good. What did I say? People say, draw his picture on the wall. Don't waste your time. Can you draw character on the wall? Please, can you draw character on the wall? Answer me now. The Bible says, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Can you draw the fear of God on the wall? You now draw somebody with hand raised up to heaven worshiping. Nobody raises hand all the time. You know what I'm saying? No, see, that's why I differ. You know, my wife used to tell me that you're one of the strangest Christians I ever met. This is the reason. Everybody will be saying one thing, I'll just be looking at them. Say, do you believe that? Because after you've watched television one day, and six preachers came one day to say the same thing, I'm not moved. And I'm like, are you saying all of them are wrong and you are right? Baby, I think so. That's why you're not marrying them. You're marrying me. I better believe me. I think so. I said, let's face it. How do I draw good character on the wall? How do I draw faith on the wall? What should you draw? The things that matter the most. The Bible says you must learn to approve those things that are excellent. Why do you tell me to draw things that are not important on the wall? And I can't draw the things that are really, really important on the wall. And you tell me it's the faith if I draw it on the wall. I'm sorry, I didn't draw nothing. I'm not drawing anything. I'm not drawing anything. Leave it. What do I want? God, I want a very good wife who loves the Lord. You've read my book, shall I say yes? Many of you. I said the same. Three things I asked the Lord for. One, I said, I want a woman who... No. You know, I told you last time on Saturday. He says, he's a nice guy. Now you invite her and go to church and you won't marry her. Something's wrong with you. Look, you don't marry a man you are inviting to church. If it's you are inviting to another, maybe it's a ministry he doesn't know about, I understand. But that you are the one trying to encourage him to go to church. Let's put it like this. You're on your own. No? I just leave it like that. So I pray to God personally, simply. Don't marry any woman that I have to encourage to believe. No. You must believe before I know you. You must believe. You must love God. I'm not saying you must know everything. Nobody knows everything. But you must love the Lord. I ask God for that. And like, because now you've left everything you have to do this evening to come and hear me talk. How will it be that the only person that doesn't show up is my wife? You can't say, where are you? Sorry, I'm sending something downstairs. I'm coming. Anytime I'm preaching, my wife will say, sorry, there's one person in town. I'm coming. You've gone to God. Listen. I said, no. I'm not saying it's a horrible thing in case your wife is like that, but I wasn't planning to stomach it. I said, God, don't let it happen to me. I asked the Lord, you must give me a woman who believes that at least, I mean, if nobody has believed, let it be one that I believe that I can teach. I'm called to teach. Believes the anointing of God on my head. And then God answered that prayer. She said to my mentor, teacher, and husband, hey, I said, God, thank you. Yeah, like they say, Yahwa. Yahwa. if you've done NYC or you've been in the barracks, any soldiers are drilling you. You know, pray Sean. You know, the first one we hear is machine gun, brain shunk. Like every foot landed at different times. So they will drill you. Finally, you go, pray Sean. Wham! They'll say something like that. No, if you've been to NYC like that, you hear the soldiers, that's how they do it. They say something like that. So that day when I saw, I told the Lord something like that. Draw height on the wall, draw complexion of the wall, draw shape on the wall. No, I ain't drawing nothing like that. If you cannot draw a good heart on the wall, leave that wall alone. If you don't know how to draw a good heart on the wall, please. What did I say? Leave the wall alone. If you know how to draw a good heart, shape like the heart and paint it white. If that's what you think, that's good. Otherwise, please, leave the wall alone. Stop drawing pictures that if God gave you an alternative, you will accept. Are you getting my point? I mean, you know, you've seen, guys, you know what I'm saying? You've seen many fine women in this world, and all of them don't look alike. I've seen very beautiful Chinese people. You've not seen before? There's Miss Japan, I hope you know. Yes, there's Miss Malaysia, there's Miss Japan, there's Miss Nigeria, there's Miss Hong Kong, there's Miss everything. Please, I hope you have what I'm going to explain. And all of this one is because you watch too many films anyway. If all you are doing is reading Bible. I'm telling you. Your desires will change you. Or you'll be looking for any girl called Abigail. You could pursue them like this. Eh? You go on Facebook, you just somebody, Abigail, you could find the person. Why? It's not your fault. You read the story of David. It's true. Alright? So that's the point I'm trying to make. When I say know exactly what you want. Don't let the world, let me just add this one to it so that let's close. Our time is gone. We'll read the other scripture later. That's the one from James chapter 4. Don't let the world, alright? Don't let them give you standards that are not of God. You know, personally. You know Beyonce. I have a bad impression of that girl. You know why? Just one reason. The first time I saw her, I thought she was selling underwear. It was in Gill Online. I used to go there, not now that we have internet everywhere. Then you had to go to the cyber cafe to be able to do anything online. When I go and check my mails and do stuff on the web, I used to go to Gill Online that time. And there was this big poster there. And they put on it, Beyonce sold here. I thought it was Beyonce. I didn't know how to pronounce it. So it didn't concern me. I thought it was a brand of underwears. I thought the woman there was a model wearing pata and bra for people to buy. So I just passed. I used to pass. Until, I don't know where I was one day, and I heard that Beyonce was a musician. I said, wait, then why was she naked? No, that poster, I didn't think anything. I just used to pass. Like, okay, poster did there. All right. You know, nothing. You know, there are many posters, some of them evil, some of them righteous. There are all kinds of posters in this world. You don't think about all these things. So I just saw Beyonce sold it. I was so sure it was a brand of underwear because the person on the photo was wearing underwear. So since that day till now, any girl that looks like Beyonce is not fine. That is, it's unconscious in my body. That is just unconscious. Why? Because I say, why do you dress nakedly? Why are you a bad influence on the generations of human beings? Did they smoke for your family? You know that kind of thing. I just wonder. What's my reason? Because I have a godly idea of how women should behave. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I'm going to bring out an issue here. Let's be careful that the world does not teach us what to like and what to dislike. Like I say all the time, some people are praying to God. They want those days Hummer. They wanted to drive a Hummer. They didn't know what was inside them. Now they have removed Hummer now. It's not common anymore. What happened to all the ones we had in Nigeria then? You know the way these things are, they all vanished. They have only one or two. Some of them don't break down. Maybe the guys, you know, they were in politics that time. Now they are broke. They can't sell it. Nobody wants to buy. They don't jack the thing for backyards from one village. And that's the end of it. Now people are having new prayer points. Don't let the world dictate your prayer point. What did I say? Don't let the world dictate your prayer point. Do not let the world dictate your prayer point. Know exactly what you want. Let me leave that message there. Our time has gone. I thought I would be able to dispense of these two, but I spent the whole time talking about the fact that we don't need deliverance. And I've just saved somebody today. If it's only the person's money, the person has been saved. Don't forget my warning. Don't go there. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? I hope you are hearing. Don't go there. They say if I don't deliverance now, I know my aunties, they have problems. Maybe me too, I'll have problems. When I marry, this won't happen. Let me tell you, if you go for that deliverance, three times that will happen. Let me say it again. Don't go there. What did I say? Don't open your head for every kind of creature to lay hands on you. Some people go to TB Joshua's church and queue up to be laid hands on. Do you want to die suddenly? A man who doesn't believe in God will be laying hands on your head. Please, don't go there. Beg your family people that you will pray for them. They don't have to waste their money. And you must not join them. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes,
hey, by adventure, so you are thinking that who came to report you to me? I don't know. Nobody reported you. It's the Holy Spirit that dragged you here and put a word in my mouth. I don't even know who I'm talking to. But let me just end with one word again. What is that word? If you're blessed, they shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads and just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Because your word is good. Your word is liberating. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's well with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Goodness is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you go out and as you come in, the angels of God, they will protect you and deliver you from all troubles in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Abundant provisions is yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That thing which you need, which you do not even know, that supply will be waiting for you at that moment of need in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doors that were closed that are important for your destiny, they will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling place in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of you, because you believe the word of God, this nation will be preserved in safety. It will be preserved in prosperity. It will be preserved in righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ.